He will take care of you. No children to dismiss. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Get that in one hand and then, well, it's only three pages back. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read a couple verses. We'll read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. And let's start there. Dearly beloved, are you there yet? I'll wait just a minute till you get there. As long as you hear the leaves rustling, we'll wait. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay, here we go. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Strangers and pilgrims. There's only two times those words are put together in the Bible. The other is Hebrews chapter 11. So if you will look there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's bow our heads and have prayer. Father, thank you for abundant life as well as eternal life. But Lord, we look forward to the time that we'll be with you. And Lord, help us to be faithful in our service for you, our work for you, down here until that time comes. And I pray that you'd minister to every heart here, meet every need. And Lord, help us to know that we're just traveling on. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's chapter 5, but Paul tells the church there that we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents a country, but they move to another country and give the message from the country that they're from. I know in missions work that happens a lot, but we are ambassadors for Christ. The Bible teaches that. We are strangers and pilgrims. A stranger is one who belongs to another country. So they come here, but they're a stranger to this country. The pilgrim is the one we'll probably look at a little bit tonight, today. It's a wanderer, a traveler, particularly one that travels to a distance from his own country to visit a holy place. That's the definition. It's like a pilgrimage. You probably heard that term. But in Scripture, it's one that has a temporary residence down here. There's a lot of songs that have to do with that, and they tell us that. But we are temporary residents. I feel like traveling on. We're marching to Zion. When we all get to heaven. These are songs that we sing because they look forward to a future day, and we know we're just passing through. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, there's something that comes after that. This world is not my home. We sang that. I'm just a passing through. Pilgrims used to greet each other. You know who the pilgrims are, right? Thanksgiving and the pilgrims. But pilgrims used to greet each other, not with good morning, but they said good morrow. They were always looking ahead, good morrow. So I think that's a precious, precious truth. The Christian knows that one day our journey will be over down here. Amen? And for some it's earlier than others, and for some they live a long time, and praise the Lord for that. My mom passed at 51. My dad passed at 61. My older brother at 48. But I got two aunts that lived into their 90s. Amen? So I'm going to follow those guys. But you never know, right? You never know. But this is all temporary. But now we lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, right? Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. So we're looking somewhere. We're looking to the future. 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Bible says, while we look, not physically, but with the eye of faith, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we can look into the perfect law of liberty, and God tells us those things from the Scripture. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen? So the instruction is all there. We have Hebrews 11:10 about Abraham. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And so that was his life of faith. In John chapter 9, Jesus said in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And that is very true. What we do for the Lord, we need to do now. And Psalm 90 and verse 9, very interesting verse. You know, the Bible tells us to teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts after wisdom. But here's what this says. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And when I was talking to our brother in Arizona, he was telling me, we were kind of reviewing his life. And it was, I've heard it before. You know, we've spent a lot of time in fellowship and kind of pastor talk, and he was telling about churches. But his life is a tale that is told. All of our lives tell a story. Amen? And we're writing those stories right now as we speak. In Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So that story of a person's life doesn't end with the person. It still meets needs even after that person is gone. In Revelation 14:13, I know this is a lot of background, but my introduction is almost over, which is unusual for today. Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. That's a blessing. But it says, and their works do follow them. So there's always something we can do in this life. But if our story is a good story and it's helped people, amen, that lives on even after we're gone. There's what we call a biography. That is the history of the life and character of a particular person. That is a biography. An autobiography is when the person writes his own story. If I was writing my story and somebody else was writing my story, I think I would have a tendency to leave certain things out. Amen? No, I don't think I'll put that in the book. I don't want anybody reading about that. But when you come to the scriptures, we have a Bible full of biographies written by God. And he knows the secrets of hearts. Amen? And I'll tell you, I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy. Amen? Because he's just a good God, and he can forgive anything. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. Much people were added to the Lord, says that in Acts chapter 11. We have Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, and he wouldn't receive the truth. We have Demas, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. We have Alexander the coppersmith, 2 Timothy 4:14. Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. In verse 11, only Luke is with me. Luke is called the beloved physician. Amen? Doctors are good. Sometimes God can do something for you, and sometimes he'll use a doctor to do something for you. And some doctors have a good bedside manner. Amen? And it's good to find one like that. Anyway, I better stop there and get back on track because I want a positive message, right? But Luke, the beloved physician, we have take Mark and bring him with thee. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Oh, but Paul, he really messed up. He left on the first missionary journey. He quit. But Barnabas took him and mentored him, and now he's profitable. And so in our story, sometimes, well, I put it like this. You ever watch a Western and the good guy has a white hat and he's riding a white horse and the bad guy has a black hat and he's riding a black horse, right? And it's pretty easy to find out who the good guy is and who the bad guy is, right? And through life, I don't think I've ever watched a movie where I wanted to be the bad guy, you know? I always waited for the Calvary to come. Something like that, or somebody to rescue. And man, what a blessing to save somebody's life and from a fire or whatever, and not be the guy that lit the fire. Amen? So we can choose sometimes the characters that we play in this life. In Luke chapter 10, there's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And these are all stories written by God. And remember, a parable is an earthly story about a spiritual truth, a heavenly truth. So all these things were written for our learning and for our admonition. So God put them in his Bible, in the book here, and we read it, and we can choose or see what character we are. Amen? And so in just about every story, there's a good guy and a bad guy, or there's a right and a wrong, or there's a healthy and an unhealthy. And the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and they robbed him and stripped him of his clothes and took everything and beat him and left him for half dead. Well, I don't want to be one of those robbers. Amen? And I really don't want to be the guy laying by the side of the road. And so during the time that that's going on, there's a priest that comes by and he passes by on the other side and he doesn't even get involved. And then there's a Levite that comes by and he passes by on the other side. I'm not getting involved in that. No way. That's too much trouble. But there was a Samaritan, a good Samaritan that passed by and picked up this guy, put him on his beast, took him to an inn, paid his way and told the innkeeper, if it's any more, I'm going to pass back through here. I will pay and I'll take care of him. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Amen? So we got a story with a lot of characters. Well, I don't want to be the one passing by. I mean, if there's a need, you want to meet it. There's really only one choice there, isn't there? And so we look at our life and we see that recorded in the Word of God. That's Luke 10. Luke 12, you have the parable of the rich fool. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And this rich man had a real problem. You think you got trouble? This rich man had a real problem. He had more money than he had barns to put it in. Boy, that's a real problem. I wouldn't mind having one barn. Amen? But I mean, he had a lot of barns. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. That was his whole focus. And Jesus said, you're going to leave that all to somebody, and you're a fool. And and so Jesus said, no, that's not the way to live our life. And we'll see that as we go on. Luke 14, the parable of the Great Supper. Great Supper. A prestigious man made a great supper. This is speaking of God. And he invited everybody. And there were three that, with one consent, began to make excuse. One said, I bought some land, I can't come. The other said, he's the last one. I got a yoke of oxen, and I haven't proved them. And then the third one said, I married a wife, I cannot come. And so the Lord of that place said that he was angry, and he sent his servants out to bring in the blind, the halt, the maimed, bring them in, because he wanted this feast to be sufficient for somebody, to be a blessing to somebody. And so we have a portion of scripture there that we can choose who we are there. You have Luke 15. We'll just go through the book of Luke. The parable of the prodigal son. And a certain man had two sons, and the prodigal was one of his sons, and he took his inheritance. He went into a far country and wasted his living, his money on riotous living. The other son stayed there and worked. But the father missed his son. And finally, after all these years, here comes the prodigal son back. And he's coming to his father, and he's rehearsed this prayer. Father, just forgive me. I'll be of one of your hired servants. And the father put a robe on him, a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and killed the fatted calf, and everybody made merry. And the servants were making merry. Okay, you have all these characters. But the elder brother was mad. He said, I've never done anything wrong. I've stayed here and I've worked, and you never gave me a party. And you get the idea here. Okay, are you the prodigal? Or are you the elder brother who's mad that the father is rejoicing that the prodigal came back? The servants serving that father said, boy, this is a good idea too. Or maybe you're the prodigal and you've come back, or you're on your way back. I don't know. But so we look at his story. Every story you read. I was talking to Ida before the service. She's fun to talk to. Amen. And she's going through her Bible again, and started in Genesis, and we were talking about that. And she said, I really like Genesis. I said, I do too. You know why? Because it's full of stories. And those stories tell something about the will of God and what pleases God, what hurts the cause of Christ. Amen? And so we read those stories, and that's what we're doing here. You have Luke 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Or should I say the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. I don't know who we're going to make the Pharisees and the publicans. Okay? I'm not pointing. But so two men went into the temple to pray. The one said, man, I'm thankful I'm not like them. And the other one said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Every time we come to church, that's the way it is. Boy, he's really preaching to them today. You know? Man, I hope they get it. I hope my husband gets it today. I hope my wife really understands, you know, boy, preach, preacher. Preach longer than you ever have, but stay on that one point for a while. Or you come to church and you say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. I just want to cast myself on your mercy. I know you care for me. You love me. The mercy seat, remember the throne of grace. We studied all of that. That's where I want to come. Because God's going to speak to all of us. Amen? And be glad there's not a screen that's pulled down. Okay, let's take Richard Bradley today and let's see everything that's wrong with him. And we'll design a sermon towards that. No, you don't do that. So anyway, you pick something. In this life, we get to play the part that we want. We can be the good guy or the bad guy, or we can be this one or that one. And I think it's such a blessing to be able to choose. Think if 20 years ago you invested in Amazon. And maybe you did. If you did, you need to take me out to lunch today. But if you invested in Amazon, think of that. If you had the foresight to invest, but the Bible does say, set your affection on things above. Doesn't mean you can't have substance in this life. God bless you. Amen. If God is good to you in that way, that's certainly a blessing. But what can we do for the Lord? Amen? And I think that's what he's talking about. Psalm 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So there's an investment. You go and you plant seed and you bring the crop back in. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Paul said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? A crown of rejoicing. This is joy unspeakable and full of glory. In John 15 and verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was that joy? That was us being one to him and being saved. Think about that. Think about one day, because we're strangers, we're pilgrims. This isn't all there is. And as much as we invest in this life is going to be over someday for all of us. And it doesn't matter if you're older or younger. I mean, nobody knows the day or what's going to happen. We know that. I've done funerals for babies. And I've done funerals for people that were almost 100 years old. And then everywhere in between, teenagers, middle age. We never know, amen? We're just passing through. But what about our future, amen? And so we have this wonderful opportunity. Think about somebody you won to the Lord. Think about a loved one that's already in heaven, and you're going to see them one day. I preached last Sunday on the garment of praise and how we ought to praise God, just be praising God. And one night this week, I just, as I was pillowing my head and I was, you know, getting ready to go to sleep, I started thinking about what God did in sending his son and the life that he lived and the price that he paid for my soul and how he came to me and spoke to me in my, well, in my childhood, I didn't respond then, but in my early 20s, 21, 22, I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I relived that. And it just made me so thankful. And then God was telling me what's prepared for me. And I just want to go through a little bit of this with you. Think of what it's like. John 20, 21, Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you." Winning souls is very, very important. Our fellowship with God, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth, and we do that. But to serve the Lord in giving the gospel out is so important. And to win somebody, think of what that's going to be like when you get to heaven. In 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," future, "we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Think of that. We are going to be like Him. 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." It says, "Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to know even as He knows. Isn't that exciting? Amen? Man, if you're getting older, like some of us are, amen, I don't think anybody here is really getting older. But, I mean, things don't work like they used to. Amen? You remember when you used to jump out of bed? I was watching something on TV and somebody got up out of bed and they're just moving around. And sometimes it takes you a while, you know. It takes you 5 minutes to get out of bed. I don't know. But we're getting older, aren't we? But what can we do for the Lord? Revelation 21:4, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Think of that. No more funerals, no more pain, no more doctor, no more sickness, no more tears. That's going to be ahead for us. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You ever have a good day? You ever have a lot of good days? And I mean, you're happy. A lot of pleasure. Amen? And maybe sometimes by thinking wrongly or thinking about something, you lose that peace and you lose that joy. Or maybe your circumstances change. And now you're not really having this fullness of joy anymore. There's a great trial of affliction. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." See, he's pointing good morrow. Good morrow. Look towards the future. Look, we're just strangers and pilgrims. And all of this is going to be over. You trusted the Lord. We're eternal. Amen? We are eternal. And one day we're going to have a new body and we're going to live with the Lord forever. That's what he says. Hebrews 10:17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." That's a blessing. Sometimes people don't forget what you did wrong. But God does. God will forget that. One guy said that his... I won't even go there. John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." It's eternal. Once it happens, you know, in this life, 70, if by reason of strength it's 80, yet it's trials, it's burdens. But one day when we get to heaven, it's eternal. It will never end. Can you comprehend that? I can't comprehend it, but I believe it. It's going to be wonderful. But what about our sin? What about the story that we're writing now? What about the chapters that don't bring honor to God? What about the things that we've done that, you know, maybe we could have done for the Lord that we did for ourselves? You know, God is a merciful God. Think of Peter's denial. Think of all of these people in the Bible. Thomas's doubting, my sin, my weakness, all the things that I have done wrong or I haven't done for the Lord. We think of that. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come, future. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Everyone here, if you're saved, you are a trophy of God's grace. We don't deserve salvation. We deserve judgment, but he took that for us. He died in our place. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said that. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And we're saved by grace through faith. So grace is everything. And now that we're saved, and if we mess up or whatever, there's always a throne of grace that we can come boldly to that throne of grace and obtain help in time of need. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. All have sinned. Everybody's a sinner. And we're either saved sinners or lost sinners. And if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, that doesn't mean you're never going to do anything wrong. Amen? Or you're never going to sin in some way. But God is always there. And one day, there will be no sin. There will be no sin. We'll live with God forever in heaven. In Matthew chapter 1, there's a genealogy of Jesus Christ. And we studied this a little bit a few Sundays ago. And you see the line of Christ. God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he called him out and he says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And through that seed, all the people in the earth will be blessed. Everybody's going to be blessed through the seed. And we followed that line all through the scripture until Christ was born. And you see how the devil hated that seed and tried to destroy it. But God's will be done, and God's word cannot be broken. So that was the promise. And so you see that, and you follow that. But think with me about, and we won't have to read it, but Matthew chapter 1, there's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And some of the characters in there through the seed were Tamar, Genesis 38. You read that when you get home. I won't go into detail about it. But she played a harlot, and she's still in that line. The grace of God is absolutely amazing. How about Rahab, Joshua chapter 2? She's called Rahab the harlot because she was. Hebrews 11:31, John 2:25 describe her as Rahab the harlot. She's in that genealogy. Here's another one, Ruth. But that's not all she's her title. She's called Ruth the Moabitess. And if you would go back to Genesis chapter 19, you would see how Moab began. And you need to read that. Lot had two daughters. And with one of those daughters, here were the tribe of Moab came into being. And this is Ruth, the Moabitess. And she's in that genealogy. Isn't that amazing? And God put her there. Bathsheba, you know the story of Bathsheba. 1 Samuel chapter 11, how she committed adultery with David. And David's in there. And Jechonias is in there. And if you read Jeremiah chapter 2, what a story that is. It talks about Jechonias. And all of these people, you would think the cream of the crop would be in there. But the cream of the crop isn't in there. But glory to God, the grace of God is there. Amen? And however we've come to church today, whoever we know, whatever the problem is for anybody, the grace of God is the answer. And one day, we're writing a story now, but your story might be specifically about the grace of God. Well, I never lived for God. I've never done anything for us. You can start today. It's a new chapter. Amen? But I'll guarantee you one thing. When all of this is over, you won't remember it anymore. Amen? But think of how powerful it would be if your life changed today and the whole story changed. And people begin to see that. What a blessing that would be. I want to read, well, I'll quote one and I'll read one. And I want you to think about this. And this will be our message today. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love us, love him. It says in the next verse, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. So we go to the scripture. And we see what God has prepared. I tried to touch on all of these things. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Amen. There's no fear going to heaven. I think our fear is how we're going to go. But once we close our eyes in death, our eyes are going to open in heaven, and we'll be with the Lord forever. And all of these things will be true, all of these points. But I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh," doesn't say not any, it just says not many, "not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Here we are, strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. We all have a story to tell. Amen. We can compare some of our life with some of the Bible stories, and we can see where we're at or where we want to be, how we want to help, how we want to just be Christ-like and go and do thou likewise. And God can change that story anytime. We can change that story anytime. We can play multiple parts. One day we can be the bad guy, the next day we can be the good guy. And it works the other way too. But our life is as a tale that is told. And I think the main emphasis when Christ came into this world was to pay the penalty of sin for all mankind. He says, "I came into the world to save sinners." That's why he came. And he says, "Go and do thou likewise." Amen. That's what's important today. And it's just the grace of God that we're able to do that. I look back at my salvation, and there were people involved all along the way in directing me to that salvation. Ultimately, it was my wife that showed me. Her life changed. She got saved. Her life changed. And I said, "Man, what happened?" And I said it like that. "What happened to you?" And I really wasn't real thrilled about it. But I did finally go to church with her, and I heard the gospel, and I'm saved today. Amen. And she had people in her life. And you look back in your history, and you find how the people were trying to bring you to Christ. But now that you are, never forget that. Never forget them. Amen. It's a blessing that somebody has that story and that you're in that story. Start writing a new chapter for somebody today. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he can forgive you of all your sins and give you a home in heaven. Remember the scripture? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." One of the most precious verses in the Bible is in Romans. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. All you have to do is receive it. It's a gift. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Say this prayer if you've never said it before. Say it silently. God will hear your prayer. "Lord, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for paying my penalty. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Give me a home in heaven when I die. Thank you, in Jesus' name." Father, bless your word now. And bless us as we just think about how good you've been to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Cheryl's going to play. Just talk to the Lord.